Have you ever wondered how the sex of a baby is determined, or why some people are more likely to contract a certain disease than others? Well, it's just about our genetic makeup, an area of science that our next guest has been studying and researching for the past 50 years. Since beginning university, Professor Jenny Graves has been fascinated by how genes work and how she's just received this year's Prime Minister's Prize for Science for her transformative work in the field. She joins us now to tell us more about her work, and good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
To start with, could you explain in simple terms, if that is actually possible, what genes are and what role they play for our not-so-savvy science listeners?
Well, we know that there's just one gene that you need to be male, and it's on the Y chromosome. And if you've got a Y chromosome, what happens is that when you're a very small embryo, it switches the pathway into making a testis. The testis makes hormones in the embryo, and the baby is born a boy.
Your research has focused heavily on the genetic makeup of marsupials, birds, and lizards. Well, what can we learn about human genetics from these species?
Well, the interesting thing is that all mammals that everybody else studies do things pretty much the way that humans do, but marsupials, and particularly the egg-laying monotremes, do it in a slightly different way, and that really tells us a lot about how things work at the very fundamental level.
Is that because there are a link between ancient species and mammals?
Well, of course, we're all ancient species, and we're all the species that I study are hopping around today, so it's, nobody's any more ancient than anybody else. But what we can do is compare the sex chromosomes, for instance, in a kangaroo with the sex chromosomes in humans, and we can infer what they were like 150 million years ago. And then we do the same thing for the platypus in humans, and we find the platypus is actually more like birds than they are like mammals. So we can go back and back and back in time and figure out how our sex chromosomes evolved, and that helps us tell us how they work.
And how does our genetic makeup and sex affect our susceptibility for certain diseases or conditions?
Well, we'd really like to know more about that. And it may be two things. One is, of course, we're different hormonally. The other thing is that there are genes on not the Y chromosome but the X chromosome that have a big influence in our disease susceptibility. And, of course, female humans have two copies of the X chromosome and males have only one, and that gives us genetic differences in all sorts of things, susceptibility to disease, susceptibility to various drugs, and this is something we're really just beginning to know about.
You've also discovered some new genes in humans. How do you discover a gene? How did that come about?
Well, quite by accident, actually, because my lab was always working on animals that are quite distant from humans, you know, kangaroos and platypus and emus and dragons. And so we were always looking for genes that had been discovered in humans. And sometimes we came upon genes that were similar but not the same, and we'd say, what on earth is that there? That shouldn't be there. And then we find a new gene in a kangaroo, and the same gene is there in the human genome as well. So this happened time and time again. What your listeners may not realize is that kangaroos and humans have virtually the same genome. Our chromosomes may look different, but we've got the same genes doing the same jobs with very small differences. So everything we find out from kangaroos, we can immediately translate to humans.
We're speaking with Professor Jenny Graves from La Trobe University, who's recently been awarded the Prime Minister's Prize of Science for her work in the field of genetics. Now, you mentioned before, Jenny, how the Y chromosome changes the pathway into male genitals. I know it's not purely genetics, but have you ever done any sort of comparative work between your work in genetics and actually gender?
I'm very interested in gender. Gender is different from sex. You know, sex is what your genes and chromosomes intend you to be. Gender is more what your body and your brain makes of it. But I'm very interested, for instance, in homosexuality. I think there's very good evidence there are genes involved, which makes a lot of sense to me as an evolutionary biologist, because mating behavior is highly selected, And so probably genes that make you gay are not gay genes, but they're male-loving genes. And those same genes in a female, in the sisters or the mother or the aunt, are going to make her love males more, marry earlier, have more kids, and that's why they're so very common. We don't know about transgender. There may well be genes that influence the way you think about yourself, but we have not got that evidence.
Now, speaking of homosexuality, a few years ago you claimed the Y chromosome could self-destruct in about 10 million years, making men extinct. What led you to this theory?
Well, again, this is comparisons with other animals, particularly with the platypus, which has got completely different Y chromosome from us. And what it showed us was that our Y chromosome, once upon a time, was just a perfectly ordinary chromosome with about 1,000 genes on it. And it's been losing genes at a great rate ever since. And it's going to expire in about 4.5 million years. So this was kind of a back of the envelope calculation, but it caused quite a riot, I can tell you. I think for 4.5 million years is probably long enough for us to figure out what to do about it. But we actually know that there are some kinds of mice that have done this. They've lost their Y chromosome, but they found another gene that does the same job on a different chromosome, and that new chromosome is going to become the new Y chromosome.
Oh, so it's not like in some plant species where they might all be female, and depending on the numbers, then some of them suddenly become male.
Well, some animals do this, and I'm particularly interested in the work we're doing in dragons because they have genes and chromosomes, but they also are very sensitive to temperature. So if it's hot when the eggs are incubating, they're all girls. And there are some fish that actually change as adults according to whether there are other males around. If there aren't, the biggest male will become a female in 2 weeks.
So in the event that the Y chromosome does expire, what might this sort of different gene-formed Y chromosome male look like?
Well, I mean, many things could happen. We could become a race of Amazons, all females, and some lizards actually are like that. But that wouldn't work very well because we do need 30-odd genes that are only active if they come through sperm. So we need sperm and we need males. So we could become extinct. If males become extinct, that's the end of us. Or we could there could be a new sex gene that pops out. And that's not actually unlikely. There's a lot of genes that have an effect on sex but aren't the ones that kick it into action, but they could be. And we know this has happened in other species, so it could well happen in human beings in 4.5 million years.
Wouldn't you love to be around to find out? Now, this is a bit of a tough question, Jenny, but what's been one of the greatest things that you've learnt from your research about genetics and humans?
Oh, I guess everything to me is a very big picture. And the further away from humans I go, the bigger that picture gets. So I now look at sex and all other things as, you know, a very big evolutionary game. And humans are just a tiny part of this, but I just love the idea that the whole world, every living thing is related if you go back far enough, and that you can make these comparisons and figure out how everything works.
Well, look, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and once again, congratulations on winning that prize.
Thank you very much.